Bow, 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 bow. I miss the music.
I know. We're hoping next week it will return.
Did you we not can't
risk
your
it.
Bell?
We can't risk it. No. It's GloucesterCast 299. One away. We've been doing the countdown every week.
Yep.
299. We have a very special announcement. I have to credit my good friend Chris McCarthy with this idea. Listen, if you don't listen to anything else in this whole podcast, I want you to listen to this. We want you to come. Podcast number 300 is going to be at the Crow's Nest next Saturday, 11:30 a.m. start, Bloody Marys, the whole thing. And we want a studio audience. We want to get hammered with our fans because it's what we do.
In celebration of the
300th. Is that a phenomenal idea?
It's phenomenal. Your producer did a great job.
My producer. My wingman.
Yeah, thank you. Your wingman.
Yeah. I'd like to announce we
also
will have
known as your AA buddy. Apparently,
exactly.
Don't spread rumors. We also have no. This is a bird-free podcast this week.
Okay.
No wildlife segments.
That's it. I'm leaving.
Patty Emerald just walked in. How you doing, Patty?
Am I late on time or something?
No, that's all right. Just take a seat. We're recording.
Hello.
Take a seat.
It's
broken.
Not
broken.
But just be careful.
104 pounds.
We're gonna go around. Introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Christopher J. McCarthy.
Really?
Patty Amaral.
I'm Edgar Foudre.
Jessica Biker.
Pauline Bresnahan.
Pat Delpies, good morning.
Catherine Ryan, good morning.
Melissa Cox, good morning.
You don't seem very excited.
Yeah. Melissa needs to be propped up a little bit.
Jesus Christ. It's like, why don't you just put our listeners to sleep?
Good morning, Joey.
There we go.
I was hoping for a little bit more Marilyn Monroe. No, get out. Stop it.
All right, let me take a picture.
Yeah.
No, don't.
Get the
don't you dare. No.
Okay, listeners can't see,
No. My hands were visible all the time.
Mine were not.
Couldn't see him at all.
Goodness gracious.
I love you, Kate.
So
I like that, Jack.
We have a guest on today that I've been trying, not directly, because I don't do any work to try to get guests on.
Right.
But I always put out.
You were so excited.
Someone get this guest for us. Because, and I don't know how we got you, but we got you, Ed Foudre from Salt Marsh Farm, the pig guy. He's the pig guy.
The pig guy.
Love here. Pigs.
And he doesn't look like a pig.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
What does a pig guy look like?
No, but he does look like the
you pay $5 and you can see you can see the pig guy.
He does look like the prototypical artisanal guy now. Like, you know, like anyone like tattoo, butcher, beard, craft brew guy. They all kind of like lump into the same kind of look. He nailed it. He nailed the look.
He nailed it.
But
he yelled pig guy. I was expecting a man with no shirt, like a big pot belly.
Yeah. Overall.
And the nose, the kind of stick you can see right up the nose.
Piece of straw
coming
out of his
mouth.
None of that.
But you're going to have to work on that.
I'll work on my look.
Is that why Kim's not here? Because the pig guy's here?
No, she'd be all right with the pig guy.
Yeah? She doesn't mind pigs.
The pigs don't interfere with the butterfly migration, I don't think. So,
unless they fly.
Pigs eat piping cloves?
They might. They'll eat anything.
Oh, shit. You said the wrong thing. We're going to outlaw pigs.
Tell me, you have a pig share.
Yeah, so we have the Cape Ann Pork Share, Salt Marsh Farm Pork Share. Right now, this year we're raising 12 pigs. They're a heritage breed of pig called Tamworths. They have red hair. They're very friendly pigs. Right now we have them up on Quarry Street in Lanesville. We have 12 of them. They're really friendly. They love to eat anything that you give them. When we first got them, we bought them as piglets. They weighed like 15 pounds. They're like little footballs. Adorable. We took pictures of them, petting zoo. People brought their kids over. It was wicked fun. They were squealing everywhere, running around. So the way we raise them is we just like to have them out in the natural. They love rooting around in the dirt, sticking. Their noses are basically shovels, so they're looking for worms and grubs and mushrooms and whatever they can find in the ground. And I don't know if you've taken a hike through Dogtown lately, but it's wicked overgrown. So we're trying to use the pigs to, as a forest management strategy, to cut back some of the brush. You know, we want to, there's cat briar and vines, and it's terrible. So we're getting in there with brush cutters, knocking down some of the vegetation, making room for them. We have an electric fence set up. It's about 1 acre area. And we've had them in 3 or 4 different sections of this 12 acre property all summer, moving them around. We feed them, it's not organic, but we feed them a pig ration, non-GMO pig ration. So they're eating really high quality feed. Pigs need, I don't know if you knew this, but pigs need to eat vitamins and minerals just like us. Vitamin B, niacin, and thiamine. If you just give them corn, they'll fatten up, but they'll have health problems. Pigs can get tumors and all kinds of other weird stuff happens. Mm-hmm. So they're wicked happy pigs.
Free range.
Free range, essentially, yeah. I mean, we're not raising them on a concrete pad like some other farms do.
Great,
trying
you just
to control
added $20
them.
To the price.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's a lot of premium qualities that these pigs have. In the past, we have raised pigs in Essex. 2 years ago, we raised 12 pigs. We had a couple of large black pigs. We had an albino black pig. She was like pink with pink eyes. We called her. That wasn't Oreo. We had one called Oreo. That was Buttercup. That albino. We don't name all our pigs. This year, they're mostly all just red pigs. The biggest one I call him Big Red, and then the smallest pig we call her Little Spotty. But then all the other ones are pretty much all the same. They're hard to tell apart.
Is there an optimal weight that they reach for butchering?
Yeah. So to have economical pig operation, you want the pig to reach about 200 pounds in 6 to 7 months. If it takes them longer than that, you're losing money. You're buying feeding them feed, and they're not growing faster.
Yeah.
So we're going to hit our mark this year. The day that we bought the piglets, we call up the processing facility. I don't know if you know this, but in order to sell meat, enter into commerce, federally and in Massachusetts, the meat has to go to a USDA processing facility. Let me back up and just say my contact information first. If you're interested in buying pork from me, please email me at saltmarshpoultry@gmail.com. That's spelled saltmarshpoultry@gmail.com.
All right.
The reason why our email address is like that is because we used to raise a lot of meat chickens. We raised a lot of turkeys. 2 years ago in Essex, we had 500 broiler chickens and 80 Thanksgiving turkeys on a field next door to Hardy's hatchery. So we used to be farming in Gloucester and Essex. Now, this year, since me and my partner both have full-time jobs, we're just doing the pigs. From a farmer's perspective, you get the most bang for your buck out of the pigs. So yeah, you want them to get up to 200 pounds, and you want them to be healthy, obviously. There's also these Tamworths that we're raising.
So wait, slow down and say that again.
Tamworth.
Tamworth pig.
Tamworth pig. That's
and
the breed.
Is that a premium type
of?
Yeah,
that's like a sought-after type. That's a sought-after breed. Like, in certain parts of the country, they have Berkshire pigs, which are a black-haired pigs, and they sell that into Japan as, like, that's basically like the Kobe beef of pork.
That's what, just to back up, Susan Lipset always talks about
Berkshire
pork. She always says she's going to bring some back to us. She's from Atlanta.
Yeah.
She summers here.
Yeah.
She's going to bring some back to us next summer.
There's some farms in Mass that raise Berkshire pork. The piglets are way more expensive to buy so we're doing what's called like a feeder pig operation. Some people have a sow and piglet operation where they'll have one huge boar, 600 pounds. They'll have a handful of sows. They'll weigh like 400 pounds. They'll breed them in the fall, like late August, September, October, and the sows will be pregnant, and then they'll start giving birth to the piglets in like February, March is the optimal time. If you have kids in 4-H, that's when they're starting to look to buy piglets for their 4-H project and stuff. But the pig, you know, they're pretty cold hardy. They can be born you know, in the snowy, coldest days of winter, and just all they need is their mother's milk, and that'll take care of them. So we bought our piglets from a certified organic farm in Maine because we wanted these Tamworths. They have a really good growth rate, a good feed to meat conversion ratio, mm-hmm. which are the kind of qualities that we want. And also, they are a bacon breed of pig. They're a longer pig.
My ears just perked
yeah.
up.
Bacon, love bacon.
So,
who doesn't love bacon?
So within pig breeds, you have your bacon breeds and then your lard breeds. Lard, if you cook with lard, bake a lot of pie doughs, you make lardo or other charcuterie products like Italian soppressata, prosciutto, that kind of stuff, you're going to want a lard breed. Some people are crossing lard breeds and bacon breeds. We're not breeding pigs right now. We're just doing the feeders. Until we have, you know, more permanent infrastructure. Right now for Saltmarsh Farm, we're just renting land. Someday we'd like to have our own piece of property, but this is what we can do for now. I'm an arborist. I work full-time for Cape Ann Tree, so I'm in the bucket truck. I'm climbing trees. We're a full-service company. We love pruning trees, making your property look beautiful, making your house safe, taking your trees off your cars after the winter storms. We do it all. So I'd love to be farming full-time, but for right now, we got to save some money in order to buy our own piece of land. So yeah, me and my wife, Liz Jaeger, she's really the livestock expert. She grew up in East Gloucester, and we met at UMass Amherst.
Wait, Liz Jaeger, is she related to Chris Jaeger?
Yeah, that's Chris Jaeger's daughter.
Oh my God, his daughter.
Yeah.
My humble beginnings of any kind of internet, Chris Jaeger designed the first, not... Good Morning Gloucester blog. He designed the Captain Joe and Sons website.
Oh, yeah.
Like in the very beginnings of
the
internet.
If you need help promoting your business online, Chris Jaeger is the man to talk to. He can get you more hits on Google search engines. He's like the best consultant for online marketing if you have a small business.
He still does it, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, he's a great guy.
He's the man.
Nice guy.
So, yeah. Liz,
so that's his daughter?
Yeah.
His daughter?
So, Liz... She's a fantastic woman. She used to work at the Common Crow Natural Market at their old spot downtown, and she worked at Russell's Orchards, and she was baking pies, picking apples. She loved doing that. I used to work at Canaan Family Farm on Route 1A, next to the Wenham Sports Stop.
With the what's the family's name? Italian.
Yeah, the Di Fiores and the Petronzios.
That's their name?
Yeah. Yeah, they're like there's two sisters, Terry and Faith. They started the vegetable stand back when they were little girls.
Oh, okay.
And you know, the old man, he took it over and started growing corn and stuff. So they sold that family farm to another bigger farm, and they're doing a lot more stuff, so people like that.
The tender crop
yeah.
diet?
Yeah. They're too big. Yeah. They have really nice food and nice products and stuff, but I don't know how they manage all their different locations and all their staff.
Yeah.
We're a small business. Liz and I, we graduated from the Stockbridge School of Agriculture at UMass. We moved back to Gloucester. We're best friends with the farmers from Alprilla Farm and Cedar Rock Gardens.
That's who we got their name.
Yeah.
We all used to go on field trips, and we were all study buddies at UMass Amherst. Liz met Tucker from Cedar Rock and in Chicken Club. Me and Tucker both majored in fruit and vegetable crop production out there.
Wow.
So I was more into orchard science. I worked at like an 80-acre orchard climbing apple trees. I just love pruning trees, picking fruit. It's just so much fun. Driving tractors, like that's what I want to do all day, every day.
God bless them.
Yeah.
So tell me more about the pigs.
Yeah, so the pigs are awesome. Like I said.
So wait. So I want to explain. So I want to go start to finish from the consumer's standpoint.
All right.
I approach you. I email you.
Yeah.
I say, what are my options? Go.
Yeah. So you have one option with us, Saltmarsh Farm. We make it easy for you. We're going to sell you a box share of pork. It's heritage breed pork, force-fed, non-GMO, free-range pigs raised right here on the edge of Dogtown in Gloucester. So you buy a pork share. And it's going to be probably about 30 pounds of pork in a box, assorted cuts. So we're going to take the pigs up to the Vermont Packing House in Springfield, Vermont. They're a humane certified USDA slaughterhouse. It's a little bit of a drive to take them out of state, but there's no humane certified slaughterhouses or red meat processing facilities in Massachusetts.
Wow.
There are some good butcher shops in Mass, but you know, we've used the blood farm in Groton in the past. We take some pigs there. Like, if you want to buy a barbecue pig from us, we'll take it there. They'll do the dirty part of it. They'll, you know, open the pig up, clean it out, and you can get that back and do a pig roast for your family. We're not really doing that option this year because we have such a small number of pigs. So we're doing the pork share. It's going to be about 30-pound box. Some of the boxes might be a little over or under 30 pounds, but you'll have an assortment of pork chops. We get the thick slice, like 1.5 inches thick cut pork chops. The pigs, because they're Tamworths, they have really nice marbling. So some pork chops you'll buy, they just have like a little bit of meat and a lot of fat. This is going to have like meat and fat all marbled together. Yeah. So you can't mess it up. You can cook it in the skillet in a cast iron. You can cook it on the grill. You can put it in the oven and bake it, bread it, fry it, whatever you want to do.
Not going to be all dried out.
Yeah, no, it retains its moisture. It's going to be like a juicy pork chop. They have a curing and what's it called? They can make the best bacon in the world, basically, like Vermont maple smoked bacon, applewood smoked bacon. You just can't beat it. We get the thick sliced bacon there too. So you get like a couple in the pork share. You get like a couple of packages, 1 pound packages of bacon, and you know that stuff. If you can keep it, you know, it disappears really fast. We sell out of bacon before we sell out of everything else. We get some racks of St. Louis style ribs. Those are like 2 to 3 pound rack of ribs, baby back St. Louis ribs. Those are really good. Just baste them with some barbecue sauce, throw them on the grill, and they cook pretty. They don't take that long to cook. What else is in there? We're gonna get some ham steaks. In the past, we got holiday ham roasts. That's like a big 4 pound chunk of meat, and for some people that was a little bit overwhelming to cook. Unless you're having like a big family Easter event or big family Christmas, you want to have a holiday ham. But the ham steaks are nice. Like if you just want something easy to cook for dinner, you can just, you know, throw that in the oven. It doesn't take too long to cook. For all this stuff, if you have a meat thermometer at home, that's going to help you cook your pork at home until it's done. You don't want to overcook it. You want to cook it until it's at the recommended temperature. And for pork, poultry, beef, they all have the recommended temperature. But that's one of the most important things if you're cooking meat at home. It's like a lot of people like go to a nice restaurant. They'll get something that's like, man, they cooked it so good at the restaurant. How come I can't cook it that good at home? Meat thermometer. It's that easy.
As a barbecue enthusiast, like people, they think it's science, right? Yeah. So we talk about it. It's foolproof. I talked to Chris. Chris just recently got into charcoal barbecue cooking. And like I told him that one of the first things you have to get, what do I have right here, right behind me? A remote digital thermometer. We're cooking a brisket right now. I started it at 5 o'clock this morning. And I know what my internal temperature is. I know when I'm going to pull that piece off, and it's going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be, because a range of like 10 degrees of either way can ruin an expensive piece of meat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can also nail it, and it's not rocket science.
No.
So yeah, I mean I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
So when seasonally are you going to take them to processing? So when are these
boxes available?
So like I said,
we bought the piglets back in May. So the day we brought the piglets home, we called the processing facility and set the slaughter date. We sent them, for the nice people, we send them off to freezer camp. it's a lot of work. We have done our own pigs before, you know, processed them. But anyway, the date that we take them out is October 16th. We're loading up. We have a livestock trailer. We load them in the truck. We drive up there for the day, drop them off at the facility. They all walk off the trailer. We lead them into the facility with some
cream.
They walk off on their own. If
you
they don't
kiss them,
we give them a pat on the back and say goodbye, good luck, see you in the next
job.
Life.
Yeah. I love it. I love it.
You'll be fantastic bacon.
Yeah.
I hope to see you soon.
Yeah.
It's funny how people freak out about throwing a lobster in a pot.
That's true.
No, I mean, there's all these people. Like, there's PETA is freaking out about this,
yeah.
You know?
So, yeah, now lobsters smoke weed too. That's the way.
Yeah,
oh,
they put
oh,
a, they put a
that.
They put a kibosh on that. They've been stopped.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
There was a company somewhere that was getting the lobsters high.
A restaurant.
So they didn't feel the pain when you jumped in the pot. They were very happy about it.
Tremendous marketing.
Yeah.
Tremendous marketing.
No, they take a lot of care at the processing facility to make sure that the animals are treated well in their last moments of life. If an animal's stressed out before you harvest its meat, it's going to make it all tense, tough.
Yeah.
It's not going to be as good.
Yeah.
So we want the animals to be relaxed before they do it. And you can go watch through a glass window how they do it at the facility if you want to. They want that much transparency. Every animal that goes in gets a tracking number so they know whose animal it is, so you're not taking home somebody else's meat. You'd be surprised how much that happens. Like,
about how long does it take to process these into these boxes that you...
Yeah, so it's going to be about a month. We're anticipating getting the pork shares and doing the distribution in November, hopefully before Thanksgiving. So the way we'll communicate all that, there's going to be an email list. You give us your contact information. We'll let you know when we're going to be getting it back from the processor. And then once we get it back, we have to sort it all out, make all the boxes. I think we're going to have something like between 32 and 34 pork shares available for sale. And then we're going to have a distribution. We haven't figured out where that's going to be yet. Sometimes it's at the Holiday Farmers Market. Sometimes it's at Cedar Rock Gardens or at El Prilla Farm.
Mm-hmm.
So that we all have to figure out over the next month leading up to the distribution.
Can you make any special requests like blood sausage?
We're not doing blood sausage.
No.
That's too much. But we do get really good sweet and spicy Italian sausage. We've gotten kielbasa back from them. So
is that part of the box?
Yeah, you get the sausages in the box. Oh, yeah, the sausages are one of the best parts. You know, once you eat all the bacon, then you got the maple breakfast sausage.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now the big question is.
What? So much.
It's $11 a pound for the pork share. So we get, we're asking to get, I think it's going to be a $200 deposit on the box. And then once we get the box, just to reserve your share. And then when we get all the boxes back, we put it on the scale and you pay the remainder of what's left of that amount of money. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be probably a little over $300 a box for the pork share.
Tremendous.
Yeah, you get about 30 pounds of meat.
What's today's show special?
is there a website we could send people to, or do you not?
We have a Facebook page, Salt Marsh Poultry on Facebook. We do have a website, but it's not up to date currently. But emailing us at saltmarshpoultry@gmail.com is the best way to get in contact with us to express your interest, and we can tell you more details if you haven't learned enough from the podcast.
This is fantastic.
Yeah.
You did a great job explaining all that.
Yes.
Yeah,
I know. You did it succinctly. You didn't go off on any bad tangents either.
Chickens. Yeah, chickens are fun.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
What I'm here for.
Here's a question that's not pertaining to you, but you may have an answer for me. This year, I want to smoke a turkey on my Weber grill. And you mentioned that you had done it, but you don't do it anymore.
Yeah, we didn't raise any turkeys this year. They take a lot more labor than the pigs do. You got to check on them a couple times a day. You can lose, you'd be amazed. Like, coyotes are pretty, they're pretty clever. They'll get in and they'll steal your chickens and they'll steal your turkeys. Coyotes are more scared of pigs. Like, if we find coyote scat on the outside of our electric fence, but they don't go in and they don't mess with the pigs.
Where would you recommend, if I wanted a fresh turkey, where would I go?
There's the only other local farm that I know of there's two local farms. I don't want to advertise for my competition, but there's a farm in Essex, Grant Family Farm. I think Chris is raising turkeys this year. I'm not 100% sure about that. The Common Crow Natural Market sells really good turkeys, and then otherwise you could...
Is there a benefit to cooking a non-frozen turkey?
Frozen turkey is fine. You just want to give it time to thaw out. A lot of times you just put it in the bathtub with some ice to keep it chilled.
Bathtubs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
I had two one year.
Some people put them in coolers, though, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Don't be afraid of buying a frozen turkey. They're only going to be frozen for at most like 10 days or something like that, between the time that they're processed, then they get to you.
Really?
Yeah.
So that period, like a couple weeks before Thanksgiving, must be an absolute shit show with the turkey farms.
I've worked in a turkey processing facility before.
Literally.
Oh, really?
It's insane.
It has to be. I mean, if you're telling me that they're only frozen for 10 or 11 days.
Yeah.
So all that production all at once is like, we got to get these things to market.
Yeah. Can you imagine all those feathers just flying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's one guy at the turkey processing facility. That's his job. Get the feathers out of there.
He does not make enough money.
No.
I'm just saying right
now.
So
I grew up on a ranch in Oregon, and I did 4-H as a kid, and I had a pig, and his name was Porkchop.
Uh-huh.
Because there were no lies between us. He knew what his job was. I knew what mine was.
No lies.
We went for walks together all the time.
Did you tune him up at the end, or did someone else tune him up?
No, you sell him at the market.
You sell him. You didn't tune him up.
Well, he's going to go to the great butcher in the sky.
So the ones like what's his name? What's his name? The handsome Clooney, George Clooney.
The handsome guy.
He's a handsome guy.
Yeah.
Is he not a handsome guy?
He's
no, he owned a potbelly pig. Didn't he famously own a
Charlotte's Web?
A little
he owned
no,
Charlotte's
he had
Web.
as a pet. He had a little
just
pig.
Very odd that you know that.
That is a little odd.
Yeah.
He was I thought that guy was one of the most brilliant guys in the world.
Well,
he is pretty clearly
very decent
he's
woman.
Brilliant. Yeah. Pretty clear above and beyond the potbelly pig.
But
yeah.
You don't eat a potbelly pig.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like
was
there's
like
all
a,
these
like
different breeds.
Chicken wing kind of it's there's not a lot of meat there.
Well, no, that was going to be my point.
All right.
That was
all right.
Be
no
there.
Fighting, please.
I don't think pigs make very good pets. Get a dog or a cat.
Yeah.
Oh, really? The potbelly ones are not really...
No.
They're just more for attention than anything else?
Potbelly pigs are not supposed to stay that small.
No.
Right.
So
these pocket pig things? That's not natural.
So
what's a pocket pig?
The potbelly pig.
A tiny pig.
2 months ago, I'm on a plane, and I'm walking down...
Don't say it.
I'm walking down the aisle, and I hear... what I think sounds like a pig, and I'm like, Jesus, I must be losing it. What do you know? There's a couple with a piglet sitting on their lap. It was like one of those emotional, what do they call them?
What do you call them?
Literally
out of its
therapy little bag
pig,
sitting on the lady's lap. I had never seen a pig on a plane before. It was very
pigs on a plane.
Pigs on a plane. That's the next movie.
That's
the next movie.
I think the 400th podcast could be themed.
400th or 300th?
I must
have
missed.
Well, we've already got the plan for 300,
pig
right?
Pig is more behaved than a lot of children are on the plane.
Yeah. As long as it doesn't go to the bathroom, you're all set.
Edgar, thank you for coming in.
Yeah,
Edgar,
thank you.
I appreciate it. I'm happy to report that our new headquarters is nearly completed on Main Street.
Heard.
The GMGI, Good Morning Gloucester Institute on Main Street.
Yeah.
Right across, we'll be able to walk across for the podcast next week.
Yep.
Hey, Adam Orlando is here. What? Go ahead.
So I have a guy that can make a banner. I say we go rogue one night and drop a seagull right over their logo.
That'd be awesome.
And just like,
instead of the fish.
I love it.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
Yeah.
Or just
like
black out the. I think we need
way.
To black out the eye.
Yeah. Can you delete that from the podcast?
It's not a secret anymore.
Black out the eye. Catherine, did you take photos of it?
Yes, I sent it to you.
You sent it to me. Okay. And you're like you're remiss that she was taking photos as they were putting the letters up, and she didn't get the photo before they put the eye up. We went GMG.
Oh,
it would have been tremendous. It would have been a big picture of it and sent
it
out
good.
To all our...
I know. Every time I see that, that's all I think.
It really does look like
it.
Like,
well, it's such a tiny eye.
Well, I kind of feel like they owe us some royalties for just the GMG part.
Yeah.
No?
I'm surprised you allowed them to even use those letters.
Pat, I'd like to congratulate you. You made
yes.
it 1 year, your blogversary, as an official
so
contributor.
Thank you, everybody.
Yes,
nice.
Congratulations on putting up with Joey for 1 year.
Yeah.
Good job.
Very nice, Pat. Congrats.
Oh, hi. I think I see a honeycomb stare.
Honeycomb stare. this coming week, this Saturday, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Friday, Saturday,
5th,
Sunday.
October 5th, 6th, and 7th at the Paint Factory. There's more to see. SEA.
Yes.
Hey, how you doing? No. What did I tell you guys? What did I tell you? There's going to be 5 or 6 different groups. I have no idea who's coming and not coming. Anyway.
Okay. Can we get back to me, please?
Yes, we'll get back to you. Melissa Cox and Jessica Biker. Tell me about the art show that is... Jess, tell us about the art show at the Paint Factory next week.
So this will be our second time hosting this show at the Paint Factory. It's great. It's in the wooden main building that you see. The show is in the brick buildings behind. So they've done a ton of renovation in there, laid down new floor. So it's a great space. It's fantastic to see the art in contrast to the building itself. Mm. So in addition to seeing a fantastic art show, you get to see what's going on in the Paint Factory, which right. in itself is
a
really neat.
Icon. So,
yeah. Yeah, and there's no entry fee, right?
No, yeah. You just come and see.
Come and see. And who are some of the exhibiting
SEA.
Artists?
who do we have?
Picasso. Is Picasso going to be there?
Certainly no. Picasso. So the two of us are entering our stuff. You.
I'm in for the first time.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Are
at my recommendation.
Thank
yes.
you very much, Christopher Martha. McCarthy.
Smart idea.
Your personal.
So,
take it.
Mary
Thank
Barker.
You. Thanks, Edgar.
We'll be in touch.
Is Donna in?
Donna's always
Donna
in.
Donna is always in.
Audie, this seat's Sousa. Broken. I'm gonna
give yeah, Jess Biker showing. I'm showing.
Fantastic. And so, are you still accepting? Is there a call for artists still?
Yeah, we have a few open spots left.
Okay. Is
so
Dave Fernandez in?
No. He's not in this time.
Needs
he was
to
last
be
time.
How about Karen Pischke?
I sent her an invite. I haven't heard from her. So
her.
I'll publicly
we'll,
shame her.
Can
right
you do
now.
A post called artist for us?
Okay.
You can do that?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
So we tried to make sure it's a mix of photography, watercolors, paintings, and sculpture. So there's a good mix of
awesome.
Things.
And what did I say to you at the studio, was it Friday night? I said, I can't believe how far you've come. Your photography has come.
Yeah.
You're amazing, the photos that you're putting out. Yeah, I was talking to Melissa Cox as I said that. So the audio doesn't do the...
So speaking of that, I submitted 2 pieces to Topsfield Fair, and I got 2 honorable mentions.
Nice.
I went last night.
Nice. Very nice, very nice.
Very
nice. Jesus,
I just took down our microphone.
Sorry, listeners.
The whole shooting match. The whole shooting match. If Kim was here... I listened to the podcast last week, and if Kim was here, I would tell her she needs to speak up loud.
Yes, I noticed
her
that.
Her audio, because she has that kind of like faint voice
yeah,
to begin
yeah.
with. So I just have to remember. Am I doing this the right way?
I don't
it
think you've had
way
that
problem.
No,
yeah,
so
it's
this
way,
right? I have to remember to
yeah,
tell that to her.
Yeah.
What? What'd you say?
I don't think we've had that problem today. Everybody's.
Or you can buy a new mic.
Nice.
Everybody
Joel.
Is
it might emoting. Be the mic. A 1902 mic, yeah.
They
I'm
didn't have
saying.
USB in
1902. I'm sorry, it's vintage.
Vintage,
yeah.
Vintage.
Yeah.
It does have a vintage look.
Yes,
yeah,
it does.
Thank
you.
Can
for
I
that.
Mention something else?
I would love for you to mention something else.
So as I said, this is our second art show, and all the artists are contributing a portion of their proceeds to Ocean Alliance and the restoration of the Paint Factory.
Nice.
And last time we were able to donate about $2,000.
Oh, wow. Whoa.
Nice.
Ocean
yeah.
Alliance.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So we're hoping to do that as well. So it's a great combination of getting to see the space and supporting.
That's good.
I'm excited to have my my work there too. And
yes.
hopefully, I think after we do the podcast at the Crow's Nest on Saturday at 11:30, and I'm going to mention it again in case you're just tuning in, we
it's
want a studio audience.
Yeah.
For people to get crushed at the thing there. And then we'll take Uber over to the Paint Factory to see the show.
That's a great idea.
Another thing too is the studio is still open, so we've kind of worked with them to advertise the show, so you can go have dinner or lunch there and then come by and see the show. So Saturday and Sunday
nice.
Is
the studio's been doing half off like every day.
Yeah.
And
this is, I've been taking advantage of that.
They're closing the end of the month.
End of the month,
right.
You know,
seasonally closing end of October. So,
this is a good opportunity to stop by and get some pictures for
the holiday presents or some cards or whatever.
Birthdays.
So I don't know if Joe ever shared this with you, but he used to be a model back in high school. And I have some vintage photos of him. Can I actually enter those?
Absolutely. I would
content?
Love to get them printed large
okay.
for you.
Okay.
So,
that'd
yeah.
be great.
Just email them to me and I'll take
some
them.
Are
I
very provocative.
And I think I heard Chris say that 100% of those proceeds
yeah.
go
well,
yeah.
yes, yes.
toward the, yeah.
No one's going to buy those.
Actually, and I'll throw in another 100.
Okay, there we go.
So if you buy photos of Joe with a significant
no
donation.
No one wants those.
The Ocean Alliance will be
that building
will be done in
no
time.
So silly. Chris knows. Saying that, he's picking fun of me because I was such an awkward teen.
No, we weren't. We were all awkward.
Yeah.
Everybody.
That's the definition of a teen.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Patty Amaral, you were here last week, but we didn't get enough of you, apparently.
Yeah, but you're going to talk about her jacket. Talk about her jacket here.
Well, this was my niece's jacket.
That's
but Adam Orlando is here as well. So we didn't introduce Cuckoo. Jeez.
I was going to correct
you. Has there been a time that I have introduced you properly? I think I've said it three or four times.
Cuckoo.
I say it wrong every time. The Cuckoos and the Orlandos, two families that are kind of like intertwined in this time. Sorry.
That's all right.
And thank you for coming.
Absolutely.
So can you speak to the Light Up Meadows what's happening?
I think Patty should probably start with it.
Okay.
Well, I talked about it last week, and without Adam and Lucia, we wouldn't even be doing this. Pauline is another person who just helps out so much. She gave us our first flag, and she's given us, you know, we got our flag pins through her, and I would like for her to talk some more, and Adam talk about the Veterans Center, because I know the Meadows thing, I think we've gotten a lot of publicity with that, and it's wonderful, but I think our Veterans Center is something that's so important. I've just walked in the door, I've been there like every Monday, putting this together with Lucia and Adam, and there's just so much wonderful things going on there. So,
before Adam came, I kind of never really heard about it. And then
he
came in on the scene, and all of a sudden, like, this is a big part of the community now. Like before, I feel like no one really heard about it.
Right.
Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong.
No.
I think because Adam grew up here, he was part of the community growing up here. We always had great veterans agents. Adam's my third agent I've worked with at the veterans office. But he was from the community.
Mm-hmm.
So he had that the others were just great to work with too, I have to say. Lucia's always been there, and Adam's about the community more because he lives here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's always been important, and they've done a great job. I've worked with, like I said, a lot of them. So I'm happy always to work with Adam down there. They do some great stuff. The networking is growing more and more all the time. So, we have a good time. Yeah.
So for people that don't know, tell me what are some of the things that happen at the Veterans Center.
Well, I'd first like to address the changes that, you know, were just brought up is, you know, the office has changed. The office hasn't changed. It's always been our Cape Ann community. It's always been about the volunteers. It's nothing special or unique about me or anybody else. It's just bringing together that community, listening to the ideas that others have. I'm not the master of ideas. I don't have all these great ideas. I'm very black and white, and you know, I don't really think outside the box. It's ideas that come from other people, like Patty and the Meadows Field Project to do something for our community. Pauline, Catherine, Melissa, all these people that have these great ideas and want to improve their community. It's just our office jumping on board and saying, sure, what do you need for support?
Mm-hmm.
What can we do to help these projects that are already going on in our community? And just trying to highlight their projects. So it really is the expansion of our office and its influence in the community is just listening to the voices of the volunteers that have been doing things in the community and just kind of giving them that support they need to really get their project off the ground. Things we've been doing, our proudest thing right now is our Veterans Networking Group. And we started this in about 2015 with the help of the VA. What this is it's a social network for veterans. We host it every Friday morning from about 8 to 10 a.m. We have providers that come in sometimes from the VA, local groups such as Action, Open Door, you know, different partners within the community just to kind of interact and interface with veterans. The idea is that you're almost kind of deputizing these veterans as kind of VSOs, as veteran service officers, to go back out in the community and let other veterans know about these resources that are available to them. A lot of veterans, especially one group in particular, that Vietnam generation, wasn't welcomed home with open arms. It was very defensive time, and those emotions have stuck. They don't come into our office, they don't go into the VA, but they do interact and intermingle in our community in all sorts of walks of life, whether it be Fiesta or going to the grocery store. So this kind of allows our veterans to have the basic knowledge to assist those other veterans that aren't coming in, to let them know that things that are out there. It also creates, kind of completes a piece of the missing puzzle, that piece of the puzzle that all our veterans long for, whether they served at wartime, whether they served in peacetime, whether they served in the Army, the Marine Corps, the Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard. We all have one thing in common and that we're missing, and that's that social aspect that was created, that brotherhood, that sisterhood in the military. So this networking group is an attempt to rekindle that, and above all else, you know, we are social beings and we need that social environment. So it attempts to get people out of isolation and together over a cup of coffee. This idea has been picked up by the VA. There's 17 other veteran type networking groups. They call them veteran coffees, going around the Commonwealth. And has really kind of been an answer that the VA is looking at on how to expand this to other states.
Where can veterans that don't know about this get more information about this?
So there's a Facebook page, it's called the Veterans Coffee, that they can go to, or if they want to learn more about the times, they can visit my Facebook page.
You said, facebook.com/veteranscoffee?
Yep.
Okay.
They can swing by our office.
And where's your office?
At 12 Emerson Avenue in Gloucester. It's the Red and Bard building.
Right.
Right outside Lincoln Park. Can't miss it.
Okay, great. Now, I just want to put that information into the show notes.
That's great. They're going on all over the place. So, again, you know, you get a lot of those people that, I can't make it a Friday morning because I work. Well, Beverly does one on Saturday mornings.
Right.
You know, I can't make it on Saturday because my kids have soccer. Well, you know, Danvers does one on Thursday evenings. There's a place somewhere for everyone.
Support group.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, you know, we talk about it. We seem to be talking about it more. It used to be that we only talk about it on Veterans Day.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Know what I mean? But now it seems, and I know he's trying to be modest, and
yeah.
Well, God bless you. It's a nice, it's a nice
to
thing.
But
thank
people,
you to your efforts. It is a fantastic thing, and something that our generation just needs to be more and more aware of. So thank you so much. So Patty, this coming Friday is Light Up Mados.
At 4 o'clock.
It's been a long time coming. How long? How long?
4 years.
4 years coming.
4 years.
4 o'clock this Friday night.
Yeah.
What can people expect to see if they go down to Mados Field?
Well, it is Mr. Joseph S. Mados flag dedication. So we have a really great day filled with patriotism and music. And his family's coming from all over. And I just didn't realize how much was involved in the flag dedication. My father was in the Navy, and he took his last breath in the Navy, but I didn't realize, you know, what really goes into something. And I understand why he appreciated it as a young man to go in the service, because it's so structured, and this is the way it is, and you really have to do everything properly. And it's just a wonderful thing. There's a lot of stuff that goes with that.
Hmm.
It's certainly posting of the colors, just all these things, and I just didn't know about it.
Who are some of the people?
I didn't know about it. I should know these things.
Who are some of the people you'd like to thank for making this happen?
Oh, there's just so many people, you know. All the CPA people, and, you know, the Veterans, of course, Center, and Safati's very supportive. Dusky, Sudbay's Motors, I mean, Braces Cove. There's just so many people. It's just so many people. And I don't like to leave anyone out, because it was something that everyone was involved in. We sold $5 koozies and $15 t-shirts. And so everyone who bought anything, or even just gave a dollar, which some people did, and they feel like this is their field.
Fantastic.
And they're part of it. And that's what makes it work.
And so, there's a Facebook page, Light Up Mados?
Light Up Mados, still there. And there's a lot of history on Light Up Mados. I've had a lot of people send me pictures on that. And it's a real little history of the field and him because of the people who have given me things.
Wow, that's fantastic.
It is fantastic.
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
On Friday.
Yeah, flag dedication.
Flag dedication. Fantastic. Pauline.
Yeah.
Brezhnahan is with me. I'd like to thank you, first of all, for some of my favorite coffee, Gloucester Joe's Blackburn. Mm-hmm. They have a couple different brands, and you're carrying it all at your shop on Essex Ave.
Yep.
What's the actual address?
512 Essex Ave.
512 Essex Ave. Gloucester Joe's Coffee,
yep.
Larry and Misty.
Yep.
Still chugging along.
It. Yep.
And you're the only one carrying this
I'm
right now.
I'm the only one carrying it. Yep. And until Christmas, so we sell a lot of it up till Christmas, so...
One of the best stocking stuffers you can give right here, so you can go to Pauline's place
yeah,
and
yeah.
get it. Chris McCarthy, you live right around the corner
yeah,
from
yeah,
here,
yeah.
so you have to try this coffee. Do you make coffee at the house?
We do. I'm a decaf guy, though.
They make the lighthouse, the decaf. Which I didn't know. You're supposed to use decaf coffee for alcoholic coffee drinks.
Really?
Oh.
Well, they say it's bad to mix. Caffeine and alcohol.
Stimulants
so.
And depressants?
Yeah, that's
probably it.
Yeah. which one do you want?
I'm not quite sure why that's a problem.
yeah.
You're participating in a women-to-women...
Yes, so we have women-to-women. Women-owned businesses have boxes in their stores for donations for women in active duty overseas. 20% of our military now is women. In almost all the armed forces, except Marines, I think I heard.
They're a little lower.
A little lower in the Marines. And we're working with OperationTroopSupport.org out of Danvers. And Dick Moody and his crew ship over 10,000 pounds a year overseas.
Wow.
So we've gotten, we have 10 women businesses that have boxes in their stores right now. There's three on Main Street. Bookstore has a box. Premier Imprints and Cape Ann Olive Oil all have boxes in their stores. Gloucester Fire Appliance has a box in their store.
Gloucester what?
Gloucester Fire and Appliance. The fire extinguisher guys.
Where is that?
Pearl Street.
There you go.
And Joe Mountain and his daughter.
Okay.
And then Roman Bath's Pets Mobile Spa. She has one in her truck. So she's traveling all over Cape Ann.
So the premise is that anyone can just toss stuff in there?
Yeah,
or you have to buy stuff?
We have a list of items, and it's on my Facebook page and stuff. Everything from personal women's items to socks, bras, underwear. Vicia Barini did a video with us in the store. She is a Army veteran from Iraq.
Yep, she's a Purple Heart recipient and an Iraq War veteran.
Yes.
Wow.
And she's a good friend.
So, Pauline, that's on your personal website? Okay, I just want to send people
there. You can do it on my... I have it on the Pauline's Gifts.
Pauline's Gifts? Okay.
Facebook page, yep. And we have it on my personal. I share it everywhere. So, it's been great. We've had hundreds of pounds of donations. We've had the AMVETS Women Auxiliary has given us a money donation. All the money goes right to Operation Troop Support to go towards shipping boxes overseas. So we're always happy when people have done that. So we have businesses from Gloucester all the way to Raleigh, Mass. With boxes in their shops.
Is that a complete overlap with that the trail that you guys are advertising, women's trail?
A lot of the stores that are on the trail map are also doing the boxes.
Women-owned business
yes.
trail map.
Yes.
That's still going?
Yes, yes. We just had a group from Beverly come in, Austin Healy Group.
Nice.
They had a summit in Beverly, and the women did a tour of the... a lot of the businesses, so that was really fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey.
So it's been very successful, and we're really happy and appreciative of all the donations, and I know the women overseas will be too. So. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for everything. I mean, Pauline's involved with so many things. The flags on the boulevard. There's like a million different things.
We're 3 years wait list to get on the boulevard right now. We have.
That shows you how successful it is.
It's just people loved it when we started putting names on the flags, and
yeah.
We're making sure that World War II veterans, if they are still with us, those flags will definitely get put up, you know, sooner than later. So, and people are very understanding of that. Mm. But yeah, we've had great outpouring of love from that. And actually, the Matos people, the family, has wanted to donate one in memory of him, and that was already done, so they've donated it in memory of another Gloucester veteran. So that just keeps, yeah, it's been so much fun working with Ringo and learning so much. So
good. That flag program's been helpful for us for some of these milestones that our older veterans have reached when they're turning 90, when they're turning 100, and you get invited to a birthday party, and it's like, well, what do you get a gentleman or a lady that's turning 100 years old? It's like, what do they need? What do they need? And I called Pauline one day. I'm like, okay, what do you have in your shop that I can get someone for someone that's turning 100? Why don't you buy him a flag for the boulevard? Like, that is genius.
Yeah.
So we've kind of gone that route now. And you know, you get invited to one of these milestones, you know, you purchase them and they love it.
They can go down there. It's something they can, you know, it affects a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's $20 to donate a flag. I put the names on them. And also the Gloucester Fund takes donations if people want. Ringo uses that for the poles, the rings, the pole tops always have to be replaced. So, 100% of everything goes.
That's all it is $20?
$20.
Mm-hmm.
And I put the names on for...
I did three of them. I did one with my father, Joseph, and my brother.
$20? Are you kidding me? Here, take
$20. It's so nice to go down there and see their name.
Give that to her. Thank you. That's ridiculous. That's outrageous.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
I'm taking a picture of you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
This is so nice.
No, it's just dumb. I mean, it's like, how do you not? Like $20
is
like.
Your dad is a veteran, right?
What's that?
Your dad?
My dad. Well, he was around in the based in Key West during the Bay of Pigs, but he didn't like see any active duty,
but
so
I
he can't
I
like.
I think your dad's. I think
yeah.
I did your dad's name on a flag.
Yeah. Yeah.
I try to remember.
I mean,
but
that's not a bad gig though, Key West.
Yeah.
And his grandfather was in Hollywood, Florida, so he used to hitchhike up to and hang out in his off time.
My cousin's in Naples, Italy right now. I mean,
they work. Don't get me wrong, but
he does.
He had a nice gig. But I guess it's pretty tense. The Bay of Pigs, when it was going down, it was a pretty tense time.
Close to ground zero.
Yeah, really uncomfortably close, I would say.
Yeah.
Can I just say one more thing?
Yeah.
People came in this past, well, all the time, but I have had more people come in, thank you, for the donations in the boxes, because the first one that came in was from a post from Good Morning Gloucester.
Oh, nice.
And I had a couple come in this week and said they'd seen a lot of me on your blog, you know, on the Good Morning Gloucester. And they were just so nice, and we've had donations from those viewers, so thank you very much for everything you've done, without even knowing you're doing it.
Yeah,
it
means
a lot to small businesses like me that, you know, that you help us, you know, a lot of ways with this.
Well, that's a lot of fun. I get a lot more back, believe me. The friendships, you know, that we make and the doors that it opens for us is... like way more than what I consider that I actually do. Like right now, this group of people right here, all these awesome people, I get to hang out with them on a Sunday morning, right? Next week we're gonna get crushed at the Crow's Nest for the.
Did I mention this before?
Has anyone said that? Because
Saturday at 11:30.
Saturday 11:30. We'd like a studio audience for our 300th podcast. But yeah, thank you for what you do. What I do is nothing compared to what you guys do. Thank you. Anything in closing? I put a link to your Pauline's Gifts page. So if people want to donate or whatever, get involved.
Send me a message if you have questions. I get back pretty fast. But, you know, it's just been a lot of fun meeting a lot of women coming in. And if you haven't seen V's video, she's awesome in it. And it's nice to hear her talk about it, even though she was not comfortable doing it. But I gave her a choice.
It's on
so,
the GMT.
Excellent. Beautiful. Thank you for that. I have to do a shout out. So middle of last week, my cake told me my inspection sticker was out of date. It was last month's sticker, and I was like super busy this time of year, no time. So I brought my truck to a place, and they had mentioned that I needed some type of service, and I brought my truck. So it was like late in the day on a Saturday or something. I didn't have time to get the service done. I was freaking out because I had to drive around without a sticker,
right.
You know, inspired sticker. I brought my truck to Sean Nolan at Extreme Truck and Auto. He saw the stress in my face. He said, leave the truck here. I'll take care of your problem. I'll get you a sticker if it passes. And I'll deliver your truck to you.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I was so stressed out about this. Like, for like 4 days, 5 days in a row, it's all that was on my head was this damn sticker. And like, I just brought my truck there, and literally, like, after he had said two sentences to me, I felt like my shoulders went down, everything was relaxed. He took care of everything. I got to go back to work. I wasn't like away from the business that needs me this time of year, and like, I just,
Joe, that's why they give you a year. Yeah, a lot of time for you to get a sticker.
Paul Boudreau is with us from the Grand Prix of Gloucester. What are they calling it this year? What is the? Is there a sub?
The Craft Sportswear.
Craft Sportswear.
Yes.
They sell thongs, and we brought one for you to try on.
Did you say bong?
No.
Clothing wear.
Oh.
It's too bad that our friend Mike Coderre isn't here, because so Mike Coderre is one of our close friends from Bishop Fenwick class of 1985, and I hadn't seen Mike for 20 years, and one day this guy came screaming down the middle of the runway here at the dock on his like $2,000 bike stuffed in the sausage suit. If he got near anything sharp, it was just gonna be like real bad scene. But he would appreciate this next conversation. The Grand Prix of Gloucester is coming. What year is this?
20. It is the 20th anniversary.
That doesn't even seem possible to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Humble beginnings to monstrous
worldwide, international
event.
Yeah.
And all under your tutelage.
And Gloucester is very lucky to have it.
Well, I'm happy to hear one of our city councilors say that. It wasn't long ago that they had to, you know, it was like this ordeal. And some of the, now we have this forward-thinking city council that embraces events like this.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have to go through the insane process, it seems like, that you used to. So can you explain to me how this year your permitting process went?
This year it went pretty decently. Trying to think what I can say on record here. City Council's been wonderful. And actually, to add to what you mentioned about Mr. Nolan, he's the ward councilor, and he's been really good, a good interface between myself and some of the people who aren't as fond of the race. He works with the Stage Ford Park Advisory Committee, and Mr. Nolan's been really good at kind of like an in between for both of us. So there was a lot of back and forth. The first map I got from those guys, to be honest with you, had all these red marks: don't go be here, don't be here, don't be here, and it was like the parking lot and one piece of grass, and I said, can't work with that.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of back and forth, and the committee and Sean kind of gave me something I could work with. So, but it took some time.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm glad that I am very happy to have you here. It's you're one of the, you know, many crown jewel events that we have here that bring people classy, good, educated, wealthy people, not just wealthy, but people of means that may discover this place and want to invest in this place, which from my perspective is not a bad thing. I mean, some other people may...
Well, and they stay over, and they eat.
And they spend. No, I get it. I get it.
It's the 13th and 14th of October. So.
Okay, 13th. So it's coming right up.
Yeah, 13th and 14th of October.
Yeah.
Is there a beer tent?
There is a beer tent.
Is it near those jumpy things again? I like to watch the
jumpy things. Yes, plenty of that. but back to the beer. We've had Ipswich Ale partner with us the last few years. I've known the owner for like 20 years, and he kind of stepped up to help us out. So, yeah, so that we have the beer tent for sure. That's a big, important feature.
Yes, that.
That and the bicycles.
Yeah. There is a bike race there.
Yeah.
It's intense. Chris, have you ever seen cyclocross?
I haven't.
Oh, you have to go.
Chris?
That's great. Like
whatever your schedule is for that, it's how many days is it?
It's 2 days. So the schedules are almost identical on Saturday and Sunday. What we do, the only difference is on Sunday there's a kids race.
Kids race, I think there's kids.
And then on Saturday and Sunday we flip the highlight event. So Saturday the women is the highlight event, the last event of the day, and on Sunday it's the men's event. So.
It is a spectacle.
That's cool.
I mean, these guys, it isn't just a clean bike race. This is, they are gravel stuck in their legs from wiping out.
Yeah.
They have to carry these bikes up like trails and stuff and go over jumps.
Yeah.
It's
intense.
I'll stick to the beer. Yeah. No, that's
right. The beer tent's like right in the middle of all the action.
So you can drink and watch.
It's just like going to the Kentucky Derby at the infield at the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, nice.
They got cowbells, everything, right?
Yeah. When you look at cyclocross versus like road racing, a long road like the Tour de France, you sit in the highway and then the riders come by and then they're gone. And that's it. You've seen them for 10 seconds. A cyclocross event, the way we route the course, we want people to be able to see the whole race, and you want to be right up front of the action. So we've had Olympians and national championships.
Wow.
We had the world champion, in 2001, the current world champion from Belgium was here. And you're like, 10 feet away from them.
That's
watching
cool.
them. And you're right there in the action. So it's not, it's not like, hey, there they go. See you in 2 hours.
That's
so.
Cool.
If you see these athletes and stuff like that, it's not like this is a Gloucester race. It isn't like this is a Massachusetts race. This isn't like it's a United States race. This is the international, the best in the world come to Gloucester. This is like one of like would you say? I'm gonna guess, and you correct me. Like 10 like premier races. Throughout of the course of the year, or totally correct me.
Yeah, in North America, that we're one of the kind of top tier. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's here.
It's here.
How do you get them to come here though? They're so famous.
It
didn't happen overnight, right?
Well, no. Yeah. So it kind of happened organically. The first few years we partnered with some high caliber events, and in '99 we started. It was a 1 day event. We had 150 pretty local people, Boston area people that came. And then by the next year, we partnered with a series called the Super Cup, who did events all over the U.S. And the next thing you know, in only our second year, we had the best in the country.
Wow.
And then in the third year, we signed up to be part of the International Calendar, and that's an organization called the UCI based in Switzerland. And then what happens when you become one of these races is that everybody in the world knows about your race, and you get points for international ranking.
Oh.
So that's when we started getting these international people coming, because, I can go and get
points
if I race in Gloucester.
Okay.
Right.
And for the American athletes that want to do the world championships, which is always in Europe, or usually in Europe, the points are important for staging. If you have very low points, you're going to be way in the back.
Right, for the beginning
of
the race.
You get a lot of points. If you do races during the year and get a lot of points, you can get a first row, second row start. And in cyclocross, that's really important.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's
who knew
it's
that? Good. See that? Value-added guests here.
International.
This almost as good as the pig guy.
Yeah.
Very educational.
I've been following you because I opened in '99.
Yep.
Small businesses
right.
have been really supportive, I think.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yep.
It's been, I'm telling you, every year, I don't get it. It's always like the busiest part of my year down the wharf, but like our contributors go and always come back with tremendous footage. And not only our footage, I like to, there's a lot of the racers will mount like GoPros and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Some of the videos from these things are like belong on the red, you know, the Red Bull channel. You know, which is, it's intense.
Yeah, one year it was snowing.
Yeah, in 2005, we were closer to Halloween. I think we were that weekend, actually. And on, I remember Saturday it was like 60. And then on that Sunday, it was all of a sudden a little wet. And then when the Elite Women came on, it just snowed.
Whoa. Wow. Yeah. Slippery.
It was crazy, yeah. And then 2 hours later for the award ceremony, it was back to like dry. And it was pretty wild. Wow.
Is there a swag that people can buy?
You know, we have an expo there. There'll be a few people selling, you know, wares, but we really don't focus too much on like the buying stuff. Mm-hmm. It's more come by and get some food. We got a lot of local vendors selling. Markut Bread is coming back. They had a hiatus, which I'm glad they're coming back.
I love Maya Rusi. She's my neighbor.
Oh, all right.
Yes. Maya Rusi, yeah.
Nana's Fried Dough. You know, we all kind of just keep it local.
It's a family-friendly event as well.
How many racers are you expecting?
So we have a city cap of 1,100 per day. So, you know, and a few people will not show up or whatever. So I say like around 1,100 1,000 per day.
You see him coming off the highway on exit 14, the bikes. Watching them early in the morning, I'll be down walking. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
And what a great shoulder season event.
Oh yeah.
Right? To bring people, it's like how many, 1,100 people?
Yeah.
Say even half of those. I'm going to generously say half of those need rooms. Hello.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Well, we did a after the debacle in 2012 was when we started having problems. We had a big rain here and that was when our issues were kind of strained with the city council. We had an economic study done by Bentley University.
That's my school.
And they very graciously donated the time and resources to get that done. And they determined that 40% of our participants stay here.
There you go.
You know, and I don't remember what the money was, but people are they're buying food here and they're staying here.
Yeah, gas, there's all kinds of things that go and travel. Mm-hmm.
The restaurants, forget about it. Stock up on your pot. What is a typical diet? Is it pasta? What do these athletes eat the night before?
Well, the high end ones, just a lot of proteins and stuff. But man, I eat cookies.
Arancini.
So not pasta.
Yeah.
Protein, not pasta.
Yeah, I think more like kind of protein stuff and a little bit of carbs.
Is it more of a sprint than a marathon? Because a marathon, I guess that's why you'd want the carbs, because they stick with you longer, right?
Yeah, the elite men and women are racing for about 60 minutes.
Yeah.
It's just straight, super hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's the hardest racing I've ever done.
Yeah,
I've done different
involved.
Types of bike racing and running and stuff like that. But cyclocross is the hardest, most intense I've done. And what I would say to your viewers that haven't come, and I say this to a lot of people, is that, and I do other events, and once I get somebody there, they come back. It's that I don't know, it sounds like a decent thing.
Yeah.
Once you're there, you're coming back next year.
100%. That's why I was telling you, Chris, you ought to schedule around it.
Or you start training, and I mean, we should enter in next year, too.
Yeah, I just want to do it so I can wear the funny outfit.
You should be ready.
I just want to wear the funny outfit.
You don't have to wear
a couple of weeks, you probably be ready this year.
Yeah, I can start.
Paul, what's the date again?
It's the 13th and 14th of October.
Paul, okay. Is there a fee to be a spectator?
To be a spectator, there is no fee.
Is there any parking?
It is free.
Fee?
The parking is free.
Everything's free.
So,
the beer is not free.
No.
The beer is not free.
I know. Nice.
And
I like
the bouncy house.
Fantastic. And the website is?
There's no room for that.
Paul, the website is Grand Prix of
it's
Gloucester?
It's actually GP Gloucester.
GP Gloucester. I'm going to put that in right now.
Wonderful. I'm going to miss it.
Thank you so much for coming in, Paul. GPGloucester.com?
That's correct, yes.
Question for you. I noticed yesterday, Friday, I was walking up there, and so there's white lines spray painted with arrows. Is that getting ready for you?
I think that's the cross country. It's not us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I knew you guys were coming up, so I wasn't sure what the...
No, we don't start until like that Wednesday, Thursday. We start doing a few things.
Yeah, the setup. Are you looking for volunteers for the day of?
We are, and actually tonight I will be updating our website with a volunteer link.
Okay. I know Donna has done it in the past, and she loves it. Have you done it too,
yeah,
Melissa?
Yeah, I checked IDs at the bear tent 1 year.
Did you get a free T-shirt for that?
How did they happen to put you there?
Yeah.
No, but I bought a T-shirt.
Oh, okay.
How did they happen to assign you the beer tent?
Because I don't like beer.
What is a?
She wouldn't be stealing from it.
That's a random choice. Very good.
Yeah.
Well done.
Paul, thank you for coming.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate having you.
Yeah, we've been a supporter for years. We
yeah.
love it. My next topic. Oh, hold on one second. I just want to take care of something. So, Pat is trying to screw up the podcast. I am joking. Anyway, this is Topsfield Fair Week. In the past, what I would normally talk about with Topsfield Fair is how creepy the carnies are. That's usually my Topsfield Fair takeaway. And that if you've gone to Topsfield Fair, like as a child, you know, for like the 20 years you go as a child through the teenage years, as you go as an adult, you bring your kids through and they've seen it a couple times. And then it becomes, I've seen this same thing 5,000 times and I'm done.
Yeah.
Right? But then... Yeah. Your children that are 3 and 4 years old become teenagers. And they want to go to the Topsfield Fair.
Alone
with their friends. So, I had that experience last night. My daughter, Eloise, who's a straight-A student, does all the right things. I adore her and everything. She went to the Topsfield Fair. And the question that I have for you guys is... Do you guys have how old do you think is okay to go to send the kids with a bunch of their good friends, you know, good kids, like by themselves?
21.
Okay, first of all,
21.
I was there last night. You could have texted me and I could have just followed her. She wouldn't have known you. You know enough people to make this shit happen.
Right, you could have posted,
like, seriously.
And, like, my daughter is there.
No, because then you can't be like people, stalkers, you know, like, no.
No, just subtle. Yes, I saw her. She's fine.
I know you don't think I'm very subtle, but
she's not subtle. There's no pretending that.
You have a chicken.
I think 13's a good age.
13's good.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think 13.
I don't know
at
that I'd go
point,
a lot younger than that
model.
Myself, but.
No, I trust her. She's great.
Yeah.
And
I wouldn't let my daughter go until she's like 21.
So when we were at the studio on Friday night, Chris. Having dinner with Chris, we ran into Melissa, hence why you're here. But Chris's wife, Charlene, brought up the fact that she absolutely adores the city website and the feature of C-Click Fix.
Yes.
Where can you explain the premise behind it and how it works?
So it's an application that you can put on your phone. It's an app. It's called C-Click Fix, and basically, that's what you do. You see something, you take a picture of it with your phone, preferably while you're there, because if you have your location on your phone, it also pins the location of what you're trying to report, and it sends it to DPW, and DPW then assigns it to someone to rectify, whether it's trash or a pothole or, you know, a dumpster that's overflowing from a business, because you report these things to different city departments. And it's fabulous. And there's accountability. You can log back in a month. And so say if you're in the area again and you see the dumpster overflowing again, you can report it again. And then now we have this history of offense or problem, and action can be taken.
Chris's wife Charlene was saying, she couldn't believe the responsiveness.
Yeah, that's the key.
Yeah,
it's not only the website or the app itself and how easy it was to use, but the response that actually people responded.
Yeah,
and the two items that she posted were, we live over by Tally's, by the railroad tracks, and there was no sign there that said Stanwood Ave. So whenever we told people where we live, you know, take a left on Stanwood Ave, and there was no street sign. So what do you know, a week later, there's a brand new Stanwood Ave sign.
Yeah.
Heading to our house, there was a lot of overgrown brush growing onto the street, and we have a slight corner, so it made it a blind spot. It was dangerous. So she sent something in. A week later, they brought down choppers and chop down the brush.
Wow,
so
nice.
That's,
how awesome is that?
That's what's most impressive.
It
makes
you feel good, right?
It also it helps you feel like you're participating in making things better for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kate actually has messaged me before and said, hey, how can I do this? I'm like, well, are you walking there right now? And she said, yes. And I said, download this app on your phone and report it that way. And it's, I mean, there's just a good accountability of the system.
Yeah.
So can you, Melissa, can you give a shout out to the people at the DPW that are responsible?
So I believe it's Rose who...
La Piccolo?
Yes, that gets all
correlates
the incoming
it, yeah.
Reports, and then she assigns it to whomever. But, I mean, everybody there is great.
Great
Mark
DPW.
Cole, Joe Lucido, Mike Hale. I mean, they're all really good leaders within the department. And, I mean, every city department that gets one of these reports, like for the example of the Board of Health that deals with the dumpsters, everybody's very responsive. So it's nice to see. And even the police, if you have a neighbor that's parking in front of a fire hydrant overnight and you don't want to disrupt your city councilor at midnight, take a picture of it. Take a picture of the license plate. Take a picture of the vehicle and, you know, the fact that it's parked in front of a fire hydrant and report it through this system. And you can report things anonymously. And it's a good tool for your city councilors as well because
there's a record. You can you can bring it up in a meeting and say, this is a recurring problem.
Right. As a Ward 2 city councilor, I was able to monitor things that were reported. So you can go into See Click Fix and get a range of the area.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not exact to Ward 2, but I had an area that whenever somebody reported something, it would email me as well. So then I could monitor it, or I could ask more questions, or I could make sure that it was addressed. So there's just a lot of different levels of accountability there, and it's fabulous. So.
There you go. See, Click, Fix. Big fans coming from
great.
The
very efficient.
I have to say this. I around town, and I'm not going to mention the places, but this nitro coffee is becoming a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I tried it. Not a fan.
I haven't tried it. And I love coffee.
I love coffee. I'm not a fan of
it. What is
supposed
to be the benefit?
I don't know what it is.
I it's nitrogen-infused coffee?
It's supposed to be creamy.
Yeah.
So there's something else that's nitrogen-infused. Beer. Don't some beers nitrogen-infused?
Yes.
It's supposed to be like
Guinness.
Smooth.
Guinness,
it's a different style bubble.
Yeah.
Yes, Guinness. So comparing
so
the way the bubbles are in Guinness versus the bubbles in a beer Bud Light, I think that's supposed to apply to your coffee.
Did who watched the young girl Malia Emma do the national anthem? And did you see the one I posted, the my personal favorite, Whitney Houston from 1991 Super Bowl?
Right, right.
And I put hers, and that young girl belted it out.
She did.
Did you listen? Did you listen to both of them? Oh, well, okay. Who? Which way did you vote?
They're beautiful, both of them. You know, it's just.
I voted for Whitney.
I voted for Whitney also, and the reason was because it gave me the shivers. And the other one was great. I loved it, but it did not give me the shivers. Jim, on the other hand, had the opposite. He said it was the little girl. And the reason I got the shivers is because Whitney was backed up by, you know, a big old orchestra. I say poo on that.
I'm 100% with you. And it gave me shivers when I first watched it, and I couldn't believe how affected I was by it.
Yeah.
And I listened to, and I think the one with the girl, and I'm not trying to take anything away from
no,
this girl.
She was
this is
great.
This is the top two that I've ever seen, okay?
Right,
so I'm not trying to take it away. All I'm saying is, like, the end where she kind of did that, went into the, you know, the growl,
uh-huh.
I kind of felt like that was gimmicky.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, not to take away from her, but, like, Whitney, start to finish, I had the hair on my arms standing on end, no question.
I mean, we are comparing Whitney Houston to a 7-year-old.
Right.
I am not trying, like I said.
The fact that we're even having this conversation means the 7-year-old is
pretty darn good, yeah.
And which is why she made it to the pages of,
mm-hmm.
you know, of Good Morning.
I saw a conversation with her you know, a lot of people have talked to her after the fact, and that she was really nervous to do it well, that it's an important song, and she really wanted to do well. I thought that was really special.
I have a feeling that the mom is, do you ever hear the term tiger mom?
Oh, I'll bet.
I'm guessing, like, that she's probably in spelling bees, and...
Well, they were taking videos of her singing as a,
she was awesome. So cute, so perfect.
She did a great job.
She did
a
great job.
We were at West Parish last week or 2 weeks ago, giving a POW flag, an American flag, and the kids sang in the, you know, couple of patriotic songs. That was just, no matter what, when kids all just sing together,
their little voices,
some of them are so excited and they belt it out, and it's just pure, and it's so awesome, you know, they sang.
Yeah.
So, did you also see my random thoughts post?
Well, is this the possum?
Possum and the mom jeans.
Yeah, I did see it. I did.
Well, this is the thing, like... I drop my daughters off at school, and a lot of these especially the more like the first week of school or the ending of summer, these young girls are wearing these high-waisted
shorts, and
it's like a thing. The high-waisted jeans and high-waisted shorts are in fashion for the younger folk, and it's hilarious to me that Saturday Night Live, it wasn't that long ago, was spoofing mom jeans and the high-waisted jeans, and now they've come full circle that they're actually...
Well, you knew they were going to come back. You had to know they were going to come back in some way. It always does.
I don't like them now. I didn't like them then. I don't ever like high-waisted jeans. I had this conversation with Kim a couple years ago. And she said, oh, I think they're adorable and stuff like that. When I see them in magazines, I'm like, you're talking about, like, supermodel wearing. You could put anything on this unbelievably gorgeous woman, and they're still going to look good. But if you put them in a normal pair of jeans, they're going to look that much better. That was my theory.
I have to say, as a person who's not model-shaped in any way, the lower-waisted jeans, the lower-waisted pants, they're hard for me. I can't...
No.
They're not comfortable at all.
I'm not even talking about the low-rise ones.
Right.
Because, I mean, I think those are not age-appropriate for certain people either. But the ones that are old, like...
Way up.
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Almost to your rib cage.
Yeah.
To me, they're just... I'm averse to
it. Reminds you of an ugly time.
I grew up with hip huggers, bell bottoms.
Yeah, I guess compared to that, anything's
over. Back when I could wear hip huggers,
Meg could never wear high ones because she had an Audi. So, you know, if a girl doesn't have them on, she's probably getting an Audi.
We want to do a shout out to our thoughts are with Marty Lester, who sustained injuries while, in his words, doing a stupid human trick. So Marty's been kind of laid up for a little bit.
Oh, I hope he's recovering well.
Yeah, did you read that?
I did not.
You didn't comment on it? You commented on it, right? Yeah, Marty wrote a post that said bored was the caption, and then he went on to say him and his dog are kind of like hanging out just staring at each other because he's laid up because he hurt himself somehow.
But you don't know what he did?
I think it had to do with something, motorcycle or moped or something. I don't know what it was, but we're thinking about thinking about you, Marty. Anyway, I think that's it. 1 hour 22 minutes is a long podcast. I'm just going through the list. I don't think there's anything that we forgot. You wanted to give a shout out to the Cape Ann Community Cinema and Zeke's.
No, I just said I went for and watched The Wife this week and enjoyed it, and I wanted to welcome Zeke's back, which you've already done. But I went this week and had a meal and was glad they're back.
There you go. Who's doing the cooking there?
I think his wife.
I thought so too. Yeah.
Oh, good for them. That's good. So, okay, a quick topic thing. I went. They were having a fundraiser at Maria's Pizza. So I called them at 5:00 to say what's the wait time, because I wanna. I'm gonna go to the rum line to meet James for a Guinness. And I just want to know how long do I need to give you so that I can just like leave there and get my pizza. They said, 15 minutes is the wait time. I hung up. I went and had a beer, a Guinness with James. I called back. The phone just kept ringing. They didn't answer the phone.
So when I was calling to place my order, because I had the same thing.
Because the money was, so we should back up.
Yeah,
the money
was
going to
go
to Zeke's.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I had the same problem. I called Bill and said, hey, Maria's doing the fundraiser for Zeke's. Let's go have pizza. And I said, we'll just, you know, I'll call it in, pick you up from the train station, we'll pick it up, and we'll go home and eat. And he's like, brilliant, great.
Yeah, I was looking forward, because I hadn't had Maria's for a while. I was really looking forward to it.
Yeah, every time I called, it was busy. And then I went to their Facebook page, and it said they were closed on Mondays. And so then I'm trying to find this Facebook post where I saw the information to see if maybe I screwed
up.
Mixed
the day
up
or something.
Yeah. And it wasn't until I drove down to pick up Bill from the train station that I realized that, yes, they are open. I don't know what the deal is with their phone. But we ended up at Poseidon's because
but they got,
then I was
so I think
pizza.
That I
yeah,
think
they
that
just
they just got
so
inundated with
yeah.
calls, and it probably when I called was probably like 4:45.
Yeah.
People got out of work and
yeah.
probably got an incredible amount of phone calls all at once. So
yeah.
kudos to them for
right.
even
right.
doing
right.
the thing
yeah.
on a day off for them, because normally they're off on Mondays.
Yeah, that,
so
yeah.
So
I thought
I'm just
I screwed up the date. So
yeah, yeah, no,
yeah.
I have to. I'm gonna make it a point to go to Maria's for pizza,
yeah.
even though I missed out on this deal. You know, the fundraiser part,
mm-hmm.
Because I just kind of. I like to.
Well,
there's so many different pizzas in town that I love. My
oh,
favorite
yeah.
is Sebastian's.
Yeah.
But I do like to mix it up with some.
I was out of town, missed the fundraiser, so when I went and had my meal, I just left them some cash and said, "Here, put this in the fund."
Way to go.
So
way to
it's
go.
Another way to do it.
All right, well, there you go. GloucesterCast $2.99. What next? The next time we fire up the machine, it's going to be the 300th podcast. Who would have guessed it?
11:30 on
is,
what day?
Is Alicia coming back to town for it?
11, I don't know. I don't know if I want to invite her. The turncoat.
I know.
I'm joking. 11:30 at the Crow's Nest. A.M. on Saturday. I haven't even confirmed with them.
Well,
I'm assuming they're going
to
be okay with us bringing a bunch
bring
of
your,
drunks.
You should bring that mic stand with you, because you'll probably need it.
I think you're right. Yeah.
I think it's perfect.
There you go. All right, thanks for coming, guys.
Thank you.